T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Doc Emmerich is great for a reason. Described the opening seconds of Game 2 at the Garden last night. The Bruins hammer guys have started the game. Yeah, fourth line was out there. They did indeed drop the hammer. And I got to say, Matt Kalman, they were sort of obvious moves. Changes that needed to be made to the lineup from Bruce Cassidy. Tweaks to the assignments in-game. But you can be obvious and genius at the same time. You were. You nailed it from the end of Game 1 at WEI.com.
Yep, absolutely.
Backus needs to be in. You got to get the top line of the Bruins away from the Tavares line. It was all too easy last night.
It wasn't just about the Bergeron-Tavares matchup last night. It was about Bruce Cassidy just letting his players play. There were plenty of shifts where Bergeron and Tavares went head-to-head,
yep.
But it wasn't this forced, like, everyone's robotic, if you see him on the ice, go out on the ice. It was flowing. Everybody was, you tried to keep him away, but it wasn't, we have to go out of our way to do that. And it was perfect. It's the way they have to do it. It's the way you have to play. You have to be loose. You don't want to be tightening up and trying to worry about matchups, especially when you're at home.
Great, great performance by the Bruins. And you knew they would have the R word, the response, the D word, desperation, whatever. Throw out all the hockey cliches in the playoffs. You
oh,
see
sure.
This
it helped,
flow,
too, that the crowd had an extra hour to drink yesterday. I have never, I swear, you couldn't light a match in that place. It was unbelievable.
Well, I got mixed reviews on that. My partner, Chris Curtis, in the morning was there. He said it was great at the start, especially with the Gronk flag waving.
Sure.
And then he's heard louder, was his claim. Now, Tuukka Rask said the same thing after the game. I think Joe McDonald was looking for some fodder for his piece. And
sure.
He said, how loud was it? He said, I've heard louder.
Maybe not as loud, but probably because they were so drunk, they were wearing out as it went on. Because you could tell from, like, the minute they came off of warm-ups. Usually when they come off of warm-ups, it's not that much of a renovation. But people were just overjoyed to see the game. It was such a long wait.
It was a tremendous start by the Bruins. Charlie Coyle actually finished something. He actually put a puck in the
That's
net.
Right.
Backus was impactful right away. Everything you could have wanted.
McAvoy with a big hit.
Right.
Zach Hyman.
Pastrnak's throwing the body around. Everybody was. And it was a total reversal from Game 1, where the Leaf Stars, it was the Mitch Marner game, right? You had odd man breaks out the wazoo, second period. Puck management was the key phrase being thrown around. This was a totally different hockey game. It felt like two different teams.
And I'm sure we'll get to it, but now we could really start to talk about Austin Matthews, the invisible man out there.
That's a
nine playoff games now and 2 points. I mean,
right?
It's unbelievable.
Where is he? What's going on?
It just keeps going on and on. And even yesterday, again, he's not always matched up against Bergeron anymore. They're not even worried about him right now.
No, nor should they be. Now, a lot can change from game to game in a series, another cliche, but there are going to be different players in the lineup for both teams coming up, and it will be in a different venue.
The Bruins are actually might have to lose out on this.
They could, and last change and all that, but I don't want to bury the lead. We do have 2 hours here to get to. Pete Blackburn from CBS Sports is going to join us for the second hour of the show, but of course, everybody is buzzing about Nazem Kadri yet again. Total bonehead assault of Jake DeBrusk in the third period.
How stupid is he? I thought it, and other people wrote it, especially the people in Toronto. I mean, all he had to do was drop his gloves. He might not have even gotten to a fight there because you don't know if Jake's going to fight him. You see so many times the guys go to defend their teammate. They drop the gloves. They grab on. They spin around a few times, and it's over, but you showed that you defend your teammate. This moron cross-checks him in the face.
You're right. Actually, if you drop the gloves and sucker punch the guy, it's less
exactly
egregious than a two-hand chop to the
face.
I mean, this actually brings up the Brashear, McSorley, like the worst moments in hockey history.
Absolutely.
It's in that category.
It's a black spot on the game for sure.
Now, as a guy who wants entertainment, would I like to see Kadri back in game 6
Absolutely.
And 7?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Put him out there.
I'm calling for a 3-game suspension. Well, actually, it would be better if he returns for his first game at the Garden. So that would be game 5. So 2-game suspension.
2-game suspension?
Somehow less than last year.
Perfect. Absolutely.
Whack him 2. Doesn't play in Toronto. Then he comes back and plays in Boston. But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know. The NHL Department of Player Safety has been inconsistent at best over the last 10 years. But
offering him the in-person means they have the right to do at least 6. Okay? The second part of that is
that's the rule now. You get to offer you six.
Well, no, it means that it's going to be there could be six or more. If it was just over the phone, you couldn't have more than five.
Okay.
And the other part is this guy got three last year,
right?
For what he did. So now
you want to compare the hits?
That was part of hockey. Guy was playing the puck. He came in late. It was a hockey penalty.
I guess. Yeah. Right. Less egregious, I guess. Although he took a running. Was it an elbow or a knee at the head of Tommy Wingles?
Well, we just saw Kucherov just get the one game for basically a similar thing. So if it hadn't been Kadri in his history, he might not have gotten three for what he did last year.
Now, is George Parro still the head honcho? So this, which is classic NHL, the NHL enforcer who's now in charge of dishing out discipline. Oh.
Knows it better, I guess.
I guess. He certainly knows that arena. But so he's going to have an in-person meeting with Kadri today?
Well, he's offered one. He doesn't have to take it.
Oh, okay. He's not going.
We don't even know where he is. He might be in hiding because he didn't come out and talk after the game either.
Which is another bizarre thing. Kadri doesn't talk, but Jake DeBrusk does. And he looks like the Emperor from Star Wars with the hood up and the eyes are blinking. And I mean, I can't imagine taking a hit like that to the head.
Yeah.
And then having to stand there and talk to you guys with those lights in your face
eyes. Over the years, so many guys have been unavailable to talk for treatment when they're just, you know, getting their back looked at or they're getting a massage. And they parade this kid out. I mean, they really were trying to sell this one, I think, a little bit.
Is that what it was? I thought that as well. Like,
that's
okay.
The only time you do that. That's the only time you run somebody out like that in that type of situation. Now, not saying that they're trying to say that it's not that he's not, but they're really trying to show it. He's obviously in trouble there a little bit.
But even he admits that he just came from testing. So what are they trying to hide? He had, I'm assuming, concussion testing.
Right. They're not trying to hide anything. They're trying to show
that he's fine?
That he's not fine.
To amp up the catch. I thought this is the result. I thought they're trying to show he's fine so he doesn't have to sit out for concussion protocol or not going to get guilted into arresting him in game three.
Well, then that's a fail because you saw it on television. I saw it in person. Everyone that saw it in person around me was like, who is that guy? That's not Jake DeBrusk. That was not good.
No. Now, these two have been going at it since game one. Kadri lit him up in game one pretty good, and it was on from there, right? I mean,
they got tangled up last night, and the first, you know how this gets everyone. I mean, everyone in Toronto, it's unbelievable. I can't believe the BS that's flying across the border. I can't believe the customs people don't stop all this BS from flying down. But they get tied up, and they start to fall, and Kadri's sucker punching him as they fall down, and then when DeBrusk gets up and wants to go chest to chest with him, then it's, don't bother me, don't touch me.
This was the first period after he took a run at Krejci.
Right.
So DeBrusk comes over to defend.
Right.
Right, and they go at it. They got matching minors there. Well, I was fine with that. I thought that was fair.
Exactly, but you know what? Again, this is how you defuse it. It has nothing to do with the officiating and all the people in Toronto that are crying about that. It's about Nazem Kadri just being like, all right, you know what, let's just do this, get it over with first period. And then you play hockey the rest of the game. If you're going to run around like a chicken, sooner or later, you get cocked.
Now the knee on knee hit happens later in the game.
And it's close. It looks like a knee on knee when it happens. I'm not so sure I want to identify it that way. He's kind of kicking his foot out. He's kind of, Kadri's moving the puck's there. I don't really want to, identify it as knee on knee. This isn't Brian Marchment, ripping up a guy's whole side.
I'm just saying, to me, it was coincidental knee on knee. Right. They physically did hit
knees. It was a collision, exactly.
If you watch it and you see so many of these replays on slow motion or they clip the approach, DeBrusk is leaning in, he's extending the leg a little bit because it's just the physical nature of your body. You're going to line on the guy for a body check, so the knee's extended a bit. He's reaching for the puck a little bit, too. Kadri actually tries to get out of the way slightly and jumps into him.
Right.
And they collide and they hit knees. And the instant reaction from Toronto, from some of the media coverage, and I'm sure a lot of the fans, that are following this team, is how can DeBrusk get away with that without a penalty? I suppose you could call him for kneeing. There is a call in the rule.
Guess they could have called a kneeing.
Felt it was dangerous.
Maybe they were just embarrassed because Kadri laid there. Like his career was over, and he was back for the next period, of course.
Yeah, which if you will hear from Bruce Cassidy later, but I thought he clearly threw some shade on that.
Absolutely. He did it just the way he could do it, you know?
Yep, exactly. But, James Myrtle, who writes for The Athletic, sure looks like leading with the knee there. Suspendable? Question mark. And Damian Cox, who's always at it in defense of the Leafs. DeBrusk gets away with it. Incredible. So this is the reaction there.
Well, never mind.
Which is part of the narrative that the refs let this one get out of hand.
Well, the funniest part is that you look at that and then you read those homer tweets from them. And that's on a play that's obviously, you know, a borderline play. Maybe you should have been a penalty, like you're saying. Maybe it's a dangerous play if you saw it just live and reacted to it. But you got to see the tweets that they have about, like, these other plays, the one where the Brest Kadri one in the first period, and a couple other ones where Gauthier got the penalty. It's like every time it's always the other guy's fault. It's never the Leafs guy's fault.
Yeah, right. So then the third period. So you've got the ancient Patrick Marleau skating down the right wing.
Oh my God.
And Jake DeBrusk puts him into the stanchion, the famous stanchion, exactly. The Max Pacioretty stanchion, right? Which has done its job, would you say? The rounded part of the glass to prevent injuries?
Yeah. I mean,
Marleau was not hurt after that hit, right?
That we know of, no.
So it's a good, clean hit, and Kadri just loses it. Again, second year
in a
row.
Speaking of Montreal, Kadri's lucky he didn't do this against Montreal. They would have called the cops on him.
Well, I forgot you were all over that series, right?
Oh, my God, of course.
Yeah, and the back and forth.
Dial 911. Absolutely. It was great.
So he comes over and just puts a two-hander to the face. So this is now 2 years in a row. You could look back in a week or two and say this swung the series and Kadri cost the Leafs again. Right?
Absolutely.
Fair to say?
I mean, they're a different team without him for sure. We know that's the way it goes, especially, you know, to go back to it, if Austin Matthews is going to play the way he plays in these series, what do they have? It's John Tavares or bust here.
Right. They're down to really a two-line team with a line that you say that the Bruins are not really that worried about. And even if you don't get last change in Toronto,
I mean, I think Babcock's going to juggle them. He juggled them in the third period last night. He might juggle them again at home.
Oh, what do you mean juggle?
Well, at one point he switched Tavares and Matthews, so they had the same wing, you know, the wingers stayed
so
together.
So Matthews was with Marner.
And then they were just mixing and matching at some point in the third.
Well, he's going to have to do some creative things because if
they put Nylander with Matthews too, probably after Kadri got ejected.
Well, William Nylander and Patrick Marleau are their backup centers per Mike Babcock after the game.
Right.
So they're going to have to put one of those guys at center. This is the same William Nylander who what an embarrassing play behind his own net, gave Danton Heinen a goal, basically an own goal. And, yes, he had this, you know, the breakaway goal to make it 3-1 in the first game of the series. But does Nylander look like a guy you want to trust to anchor third line?
That's his whole season, right? He's terrible. Yeah. He's been terrible this year.
He's making a lot of money, right?
What a cautionary tale for restricted free agents not to wait, right? I mean, God. You know, I believe training camp's too long. And you don't need all those exhibition games, but obviously you need something because this guy is a mess.
So it's either he or the 39-year-old Marlos, who Babcock keeps talking up as, you know, he's going to find a fountain of youth here in the postseason. We haven't seen that quite yet. But so that's huge. If you're a Bruins fan, you're loving this. Now,
except
Kadri is a dirty player. He's established that now with, was it now, four hits of multi-game suspensions?
Right.
This might be his fifth, actually.
Yep.
But he's a good player. He was one of the few Leafs who was actually having a competitive game last night and scored the goal on the deflection. He's a good player. He's a good third-line center in this league, and they're going to be missing him for at least three games.
And he's the only real agitator they have, you know?
Yep. And Nylander, by the way, he's making $10.2 million this year? That is unbelievable. What a contract. What was the full deal they signed this guy for? 22-year-old William Nylander. 6 years, $45 million. Man. Okay, so that's where Toronto is. Now, on the other side, we're going to hear from DeBrusk here in a second. I want to play some of the postgame audio here early in the show as people are waking up with the cobwebs off. But the other side of it is the Bruins lost Torrey Krug last night on a good hit, right?
Yeah.
Credit where it's due. Jake Muzzin, your guy who you thought the Bruins maybe should have taken a run at.
You know, it's a typical play where, Krug kind of put himself in a bad position there.
He played 10 minutes, didn't come back after that hit midway through the second, and he's got a history here of some upper body issues recently. So how long is Krug out for? And, quite frankly, Jake DeBrusk, there's no guarantee he's going to be in there Monday, so what's a worse, more impactful loss? Losing Kadri, your third-line center for the Leafs, or if the Bruins lose Krug and or DeBrusk? Let's say just Krug.
Just
that's
Krug.
Significant enough.
It's significant, except that right now power play isn't necessarily making a big difference. I don't think remember in Toronto last year, they only had like three power plays in the three games played up there. So, I mean, you know, it's tough. It's only tough because Clifton might be out too.
Right, I forgot about that.
So that might be hard, but John Moore is close to getting back. So if you can plug John Moore in on the third pair with Kampfer and you just bump Grizzlick up to Carlo, it's survivable. I mean, like I said, power play may not be a big factor here. And, you know, obviously that's where the big impact comes from Torrey Krug.
Connor Clifton, I didn't even see this. He had a shoulder collision with Kadri as well, right in the third period, about 10 minutes to go, before the hit to the face. And he left the game, didn't return.
They were
on the major power play for a lot of that, so he wouldn't have been out there anyway.
He might not have been out there at all anyway because he's been, you know, getting spot duty.
But Cassidy acknowledged that Clifton was dinged.
Yeah.
So you might lose three players.
You might lose three players. So
two defensemen.
It's a tough trade.
That is a tough trade. Kampfer, I've not been that impressed with. You have stressed all year the importance of John Moore. I guess you're going to see it now.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, obviously coming back from injury, he's definitely a slow starter when he comes back from injury. He's done it a couple of times this year, so it would be tough. But he has the size and some strength. And like I said, it'll be third pair of minutes, and they have to cut it back. They have to cut it back. But he'll just have to play his way back in. It's, you know, that's three options. Actually, because in Providence, you know, guys like Vakanainen and Lauzon, there's been a flu bug or some kind of illness going around there. The guy's been injured. So there's not a lot to pick from down there.
Who would be the guy? You've said all along Vakanainen might be the guy in the playoffs.
He's been so banged up lately. I mean, the only one that's been healthy playing regularly is Zboril.
Well, these are choices they're going to flush out over the next 24 hours. But let's focus on the Kadri hit. You can join us here on Sunday Skate, 617-779-7937. How long should he be out for? And does DeBrusque deserve any blame for the knee-on-knee, I think, incidental contact? But you know, these two have been going back at it. You could certainly make a case there's a motive there if you thought DeBrusque's a dirty player and had a history of it, to just get a sneaky knee in there. It certainly looked to me like Kadri was trying to sell it.
Exactly. This is the thing. I mean, he was obviously – DeBrusque was chasing him a lot of the game, looking for the big hit. Is he stupid enough? A guy who was the son of an NHL player has come up through the game, come up through the junior ranks. To do it in the middle of the ice, I'm going to knee-on-knee this guy and I'm going to get away with it.
I mean, stupid is that's probably not the right word, because you do get in these games and it's emotional. And DeBrusque, you know, probably – he's at a level he's not ever been before in terms of just rage. You know, you're not thinking
but
straight.
But I'm not sure
there.
He has rage at that point. It's already, 3-1, 4-1 at that point.
I think he's
point.
Trying to line him up with a good, clean check.
Right, exactly.
And it happens to be knee-on-knee contact.
And you know what, too? You talked about the slow motion. I hate the slow motion.
Yep.
Hockey is so fast.
Yep.
They slow everything down. First of all, I don't understand why you ever want to see a slow motion replay of a goal, especially when it's like an end-to-end rush. The point is to accentuate the speed and to appreciate
the speed.
But when you're looking at these hits, how are you going to break it down and you stop it? You see some of the screenshots on Twitter right now from Toronto people where they get that one angle where it looks like he's going head knee on knee, and it's like, okay, but can you let it keep rolling? I mean, my God, they take everything out of context.
Well, even like, the hit itself, the cross check to the face from Kadri, you can slow it down. Okay, where did he make contact? Yeah. Did it ride up? Did it hit the chin? If they took him out on a stretcher, would the suspension be double?
Right.
Would we be talking about McSorley-Brashear comparisons?
It's actually comparable more to a Lucic power penalty that they had in 2008, I think it was. He rammed into Max Laperriere after it was either after a goal or something happened near the net, and came in full force at him with the stick up. And he got a game for that one. This is back, you know, he was a rookie, whatever.
Yeah.
So now you're talking, that's why. So you're starting with, okay, this is a suspension. Absolutely. Starts there, and then you go into his history, you go into the severity of it.
Right.
It doesn't matter where he contacted, it doesn't matter. Nothing. None of that matters.
But they do take into consideration how severely the guy's injured.
I'm not so sure with
factor.
Something like this. If it's a hockey injury, if they wanted to maybe look at the DeBrusque Marlowe thing, if he was behind them, if it's a hit, you know, the Matt Cook kind of blindside hit type thing, or Marchand low bridging Burevetsky in the flow of the game. That's different than this guy just coming up and clobbering him.
Yeah. I would think they just say flat out unacceptable, you know, you can't have this in the game.
Obviously the play was still going. There hadn't been a whistle yet.
Yep.
But it's more like Dale Hunter assaulting Pierre Turgeon. You know, totally unsuspecting.
Right.
No reason to think that this is going to happen to you.
Right. All right, so here's Jake DeBrusque stunningly speaking at all after the game.
Yeah, the audio won't do it justice.
That's what I was going to say. It is more of a visual, but he does no comment enough things, and he's just oddly non-responsive that you can tell he's just not all together with it. But here's DeBrusque afterwards.
Yeah, I think that's up to the league to decide, to be honest. I got no comment on that.
How are you feeling right now?
I did a series of tests. Just hoping to come back negative at this point.
Did he get you in the mouth, in the right. jaw, in the chest? Like, where did he get you in the stomach?
It's all kind of a blur, to be honest. I think it was, from what I remember, it was high. I felt it in my face. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
That hit aside, obviously he was running around a lot tonight, but as a physicality in this game, what did you think of his actions throughout the game?
I got no comment on that.
What do you think? I mean, retaliate over the line. I mean, you guys kind of gave it back, but you didn't walk over the line.
Yeah, there was a couple of plays where you're on the line, and I thought that we did a good job of responding, and it was nice to get the win. That's the biggest thing at this time of year is just trying to get a win. It was nice to get the crowd involved, and yeah.
How would you describe your knee on knee collision?
I have to see it, to be honest. I'm not a dirty player. I don't think I intended to knee on knee. I got no comment on that. Yeah. I got to see it, to be honest with you.
Physically, just how important was it for the entire team, top to bottom, to respond and really play more Bruins hockey for me?
Yeah, it was key. That's what we focused on. That's one of the things that we thought that they brought in game one was the intensity, and we just wanted to try to match that tonight and try to get the crowd into it and hopefully get the first goal and go from there. And the guys did a great job tonight.
Do you think you're gonna be okay to play game three? Are you all right?
Appreciate that, but like I said, did a couple tests and just hoping that they come back negative.
Again, it is stunning that they trotted DeBrusque out there. It's bizarre.
I think you might. It's one of two things. It's we want everyone to see how bad this was, or we want to say he's fine. Let's get him.
We were hoping for everybody to think he was fine, and right. went the opposite direction with the.
It's unbelievable
with the look to it. The knee on knee for him to say, "I have to see it." I guess even that creates a little bit of doubt. Again, nothing you take from what he said.
Right,
you take that all that seriously because he's. I think he's in another zip code right now, but.
It was a weird phrased question, too. What do you think of it? Oh, yeah. I thought I cheap shot him. Is that what we were going to get at there? I mean,
I guess, but if he was in his right frame of mind, I think the obvious answer there is I'm lining him up for a check. I meant nothing by it. It was incidental contact, but he's saying I have to see it, so he's even in doubt of.
He was confused. Totally confused. That was really sad.
Nazem Kadri, 2013, suspended 3 games for a hit to the head of Nicholas Backstrom. 2015, 4 games for a check to the head against Matt Frazier. Throat slash gestures to Mark Giordano in 2016, diving in embellishment fines twice in 2016, then a 4-game suspension for cross-checking Luke Glendening. Last year, the 3 games for the boarding was really the target practice of the head of Tommy Wingles as he was bent over along the wall, and you're going to get another one here, and it's very possibly going to swing the series in favor of the Bruins. At the moment that the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to get a 2-0 hole, can't help but look to the Jackets. How about the Laird prediction last week that this was going 7?
That was a good one, but let's see.
I got at least 6 right now, so I'm feeling very good about it.
It might be a sweep. You might not get the 7.
I don't see that happening. Hedman's chirping them even after they're down 2-0, so I can't wait for game 3 of that one.
And going back to Kadri, though, for a second here, they wanted to be suspended here on Twitter, but they also want we're coming up with some creative ideas to punish him for this. I mean, one person just tweeted me and said, "How about 2 games and a trade to Ottawa?" How about that?
That's cruel and unusual. I don't think that's...
And then, of course, keeping up with the times here, somebody said, "Let's have a combat duel or something with Peter Dinklage."
Do you want to see him again just for entertainment purposes and at the end of the series? I don't even recall. He came back last year, right? Was he an impact?
Yeah, I mean, they went 7, right? They didn't close him out without him out there, right? That's what happened. The Bruins wanted to close that out before he can come back, and then he came back. He was, he's pretty solid.
Was he good in game 7? I don't even remember noticing him as being a factor. But anyway, he's the storyline now. We'll see how it goes. Our producer, John Anderson, has assembled some Toronto reaction from last night, both from the media and I think some fans in there too, right? Some callers to talk shows. Oh, maybe not. Maybe just some media reaction. Media reaction. Okay. And
give me too much credit.
And player reaction. Leafs player reaction and what they thought of what's, you know, the narrative there seems to be the officials let it lead to this.
Right.
Not that they're defending Kadri, but yes, the officials' fault that they let this game get out of hand. So was it properly officiated? 617-779-7937. Leafs and Bruins all knotted up in one. It's the Sunday Skate 2-hour special, 7-9, presented by Star Market and Wise Snacks. Kent Laird, Matt Kalman, Pete Blackburn to join us at 8. It's Sports Radio WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Boston, you know, not too happy. Toronto's happy, but they have to stop. As you said, you're a referee. You know this. They have to stop whining to the... What's a whine? Like, oh, boy, what about a penalty? No, you got knocked down. What about a penalty? Oh, come on. Look at that. You're hitting me. Oh, look. Come on. How about a penalty? Oh, come on. Oh, look at me. Like, you do that to the referees, they get ticked off because you make the referee look bad. The Leafs have got to stop that whining for a penalty.
Yeah, stop your whining.
Yeah,
for a penalty.
And as we all know,
that's the voice of Canada.
Whatever Don Cherry says, you have to do.
Right.
So
what was that?
Stop
that was after the first period. That was not that he no.
That was only after the first. Isn't that amazing?
Right. Right.
He kind of like he was anticipating what was going to happen because he's been doing this for how many years?
So what was even the complaint about in the first period?
Oh my God! Well, you didn't see like it was when the play where Gauthier got knocked over. It might have been Grizzlick or someone knocked him over. And this is a fourth line center supposed to be a physical presence on the Maple Leafs team. Supposed to be a guy who's going to grind down the Bruins the way the Bruins fourth line was grinding the Leafs.
Yep.
And he gets knocked over and he's looking at the referee for a penalty. That's not what you're supposed to. You're the fourth line. You're going to get like six shifts for like 8 minutes in this game. Play hard. Don't look at the ref. Don't waste your shift complaining and whining.
Did you think it was well officiated? Well refed?
Yeah, they put the whistles away. They let them play. It's the playoffs.
Highly entertaining game. I mean.
They called the charging a posture. When's the last time you started charging in any game, never mind a playoff game? I didn't know they even knew the signal for charging anymore.
Right. That should not have even been a penalty.
Well, he did leave his feet. I mean, if you want to say it's not a penalty in the playoffs, fine. But that is a charging penalty. I mean, that was textbook.
The hits stats, which our old friend DJ Bean, the godfather of Sunday Skate, used to hate mentioning anything regarding hits.
Yeah, he doesn't like anything to be hit. He doesn't want to be touched.
No, it was he had like a fetish, phobia.
He's a pacifist.
Yeah, he was a kind of a pacifist, but he also didn't want to give any credit to the narrative of the big bad Bruins or physical players.
You know, it's funny you brought that up because I was thinking about that last night saying this is one night where that stat means something.
It meant something. This was a night where, and David Backes, if you're going to evaluate his play last night, just David Backes alone, he had 7 hits and they were at the effect, the impact of them was evident. This was classic Zaitsev, a fear of contact coming around the boards. I mean, I guess he let the puck get away from him, but The first goal of the Bruins is set up by the fear of physicality.
I don't want to hear any more complaints about David Backes. He did his job. He's doing his job. That's it. This is his job. He's not $6 million top 9, top 6 forward. He's fourth line, Sean Thornton light in a lighter, less dangerous NHL. He's the new wave of Sean Thornton.
Yep.
Skating hard. Put him with the right line mates. Let him go out there. I don't want to hear any more complaints about Joakim Nordstrom either.
Well,
the guy's out there hitting as well.
They're 1-0
penalty
without
killing.
Marcus Johansson, who I thought should have been scratched for game one.
Isn't that a question? I mean, we're talking, obviously, if DeBrusk is out, clearly, if Johansson was really just ill, he goes back in. But if everyone's healthy, does Johansson go back in? Would you put him back in? I wouldn't.
Well, like, Nordstrom's their worst player. I would agree with that. He doesn't play that much, but that line was effective last
night.
And
the penalty killing could be huge in Toronto. I've already said I'm not counting on the Bruins getting power plays up there, but we know the Leafs are going to get plenty.
Let's hear some reaction to the hit from the Toronto media other than Don Cherry. First, let's get the coaches, right? We have Bruce Cassidy talking about what he thought of it, and Cassidy was pretty good last night. This was, here, let's listen to Bruce.
Second period, I believe it was, Jake hit Kadri over the middle. I thought it was clean. Looking back on it, shoulder to shoulder, I'm not sure. You know, obviously, Kadri stayed down. I mean, that's his prerogative when you get hit. Then the last one, I don't know if it was an altercation. I think he came over and cross-checked him in the face, and I assume it'll be dealt with or looked at.
He stayed down. That's his prerogative when you get hit, which is an amazing way of saying faking it, you know.
He's got the little passive-aggressive, just like Claude used to have sometimes in those Canadian series, you know, talking about the flopping and the falling.
Mike Babcock on the other side of it. Here was the Leafs coach reaction.
Coach, what do you think of Naz's night? They targeted him all night. Game got away from him a little bit, and what happened there at the end?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the league decides on all this kind of stuff. I didn't see it and haven't reviewed because it was down the wall from us, so I haven't reviewed it, so I don't really know that. You know, it was a physical game. The referees, the way they ref the game, let a lot of stuff go, obviously. But in the end, you can't let that get in the way of what you're doing. You got playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs isn't supposed to be easy, and it's worth it.
Mike, did you guys have any trouble with the DeBrusk hit on Kadri late in the second?
You know, it does mean no good to evaluate this stuff. You got other people that do that.
So Babcock, that's fine. If you're a Leafs coach, what are you going to say about it? It's not
that inflammatory. Well, you know what, too? You go back to you saying what Cassidy said about Kadri selling it. Obviously, you could say, oh, the Bruins coach is going to do that. But I know Nick Kiprios, I saw a tweet that he, on the Hockey Night broadcast, said that he thought Kadri was selling it. So he's kind of a neutral party there. So,
you know, I mean, he's kind of a...
Your reputation precedes you. And
well, that's just it. I mean, and Kadri, even Jonas Siegel in Toronto asked Kadri about last year's hit in the fall.
Yeah.
And he said, here's his quote. I never want to see any of my teammates be the victim of a cheap shot or hurt. Yeah, it was an overreaction, and I paid a consequence. You turn the page. Well, it doesn't sound like a guy who's that remorseful for last year's hit on Wingles anyway. He's basically saying, I was standing up for a teammate. Now, that's at the end of game one last year where he took a run at Wingles. It's a 3-4-1 game, something like that.
I mean, it was a play with the puck along the boards. It wasn't a hit or anything that he was responding to, so I don't even know what he's talking about there.
Exactly, it would make more, that quote would make more sense today that he's defending, an elderly teammate.
I mean, how many times over the course of the season do you see guys do what he did as far as going to the defense of a teammate, clean hit or not, right? You see your teammate go down.
Sure. Last night, McAvoy took a hit, and I forget who came to his defense.
Right.
Center.
So how many?
Chara, maybe.
But how many of them result in a cross-check to the face?
None.
That's the thing here. It's like ridiculous.
Correct. And he's going to get whacked for it. Now, here's one of his teammates, Zach Hyman, talking about the hit last night and what he saw.
Concerned you may not have an ass for game three, and who knows beyond that?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't. It was kind of in a blind spot for us on the bench. I didn't see the hit. Didn't see the replay, so I can't really comment on the hit. But he's an important player, so... I don't know what's going to happen, but he's, like I said, he's an important player for us.
Do you know where the line was in this game, like, in terms of how it was called, or was it hard to get a read on that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really have a comment on that, but it's playoffs, so the refs have a hard job too, I guess.
That's the stock answer. If you just say you don't see it.
Right,
I didn't see it. It was down the boards, bad angle, couldn't see it. Need to see the replay. I mean, it was even DeBrusk to go to.
And the leading questions are awesome. Did you not know where the line was in this game?
Right.
Hint, hint. Say you don't know where
the
line is.
True.
We need to write something bad about the refs because we can't say anything bad about.
Although, if you were writing for a Toronto paper, would you? You know, your readers want to read a piece that is slanted in favor of the officiating being poor.
The journalism is just a little different there. I don't know what's going on.
Do we have Sean Avery? This is bizarre.
You have to bleep. It's only like 6 seconds. You have to bleep half of it.
How long has Sean Avery been out of the league? He's just commenting on his own like social media?
I guess he's taking a break from his GQ internship or something.
He's only 39, but he's been retired for quite some time.
You know, full disclosure, I was kind of a Sean Avery fan. I kind of felt like...
Well, you're a New York guy.
I liked him putting himself in Brodeur's eyes. Yeah, exactly. I don't see why they had to change the rules for that.
All right, so somehow he weighs in on last night's the Kadri cross check.
The yappity f-ing Bruins fans. Oh, what about Kadri's hit? Kadri's hit. The only problem with Kadri's hit was that he didn't take the top f-ing row of DeBrusk's teeth out.
Jeez, good editing there, Anderson. Good thing
it's 7 a.m. Good thing no one's listening.
So, you get the gist. Avery's not a Bruins fan and should have taken the whole row of his teeth out? Was that the... the end phrase?
CTE's taking its toll, I guess.
I guess so. 617-779-7937. How long should Kadri be gone for? Was the officiating in question at all? Should DeBrusk get anything, even a review for the knee-on-knee collision? Did you get any sense that's going to happen?
It doesn't sound like he's getting one because they announced that Kadri thing pretty quick.
Okay.
And if they wanted to calm the Toronto people, they would have announced the DeBrusk thing too, you know?
And what's the response from Babcock and the Leafs now? How will Game 3 take shape? We'll take a look at that a little bit. Pete Blackburn going to join us coming up. He's in for about an hour and 20 minutes. Pretty good. We said show up for the last hour because nobody expects you to go all nighter like Kalman did last night. Why couldn't you sleep last night?
Because I was so excited to see you. I'm getting ready for this game and getting ready to break this game down, you know?
I didn't even read your post. What's your headline at EEI.com today?
My headline is that Kadri should play and he should have to face the consequences. That's the suspension. That's your punishment. Keep playing hockey.
Kalman, it's a shame. Bruins won't get their shot at revenge on Kadri. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, there was no Department of Player Safety when Eddie Shore was out there knocking people on their rear end. There was not even a Department of Player Safety when the Big Bad Bruins were playing.
Old-time hockey.
Why is there a Department of Player Safety? The player safety, they should be policing themselves, taking care of themselves, worrying about their own safety. And if they had to do that, none of this stuff would happen.
More on this, and I want your take on the Tuca reaction from Game 1. Because that's not gone. That was.
He didn't silence the doubters. Wait, wasn't that a big enough game?
Did he bounce back?
Was that a big enough game? How big does the game have to be for Tuca to get everyone off his case?
It's Sunday Skate. Kalman hasn't slept. He's irritable. Star Market presents us, as does Wise Snacks. We're back with Pete Blackburn here on Sports Radio WEI.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Reputation that doesn't help him as well.
He was crying all the time. I mean, you start crying to referees, you know, and you referee.
I hated knee on knee. You can't tell. It's so quick. It's impossible to judge intent. It's impossible to even know if it was an extension.
Yeah, but if you get it.
Yeah.
And you feel it's a knee, whether it's a knee or not.
Oh, it's the best call you can make. It's like a spear. If you catch a spear, you feel like, as a referee, it's a badge of honor to catch those things because they are the worst.
All right. That's Don Cherry, of course. Was it Kiprios in there, too? Yeah. So they're talking about that's postgame now.
Yeah.
We're back Sunday Skate. Extra bonus hour here, the pre-show. It's the pre-show, Sunday Skate. Kalman's bitter because he didn't sleep. And Pete Blackburn from CBS Sports is here.
He slept.
And he was regretting this at 2:30 a.m. When his head hit the pillow, I'm sure. He was like, why the hell did I agree to this?
I felt a little bit better when I was going to bed at 2:30 and I log on to Twitter and Kalman's up pumping stuff out at 2 a.m. And I was like, Jesus, this guy's going to be in 5 hours.
It's the playoffs.
What was Cherry's point there? I don't even understand. Who was whining?
I mean, let's face it, I'm not going to start deciphering what Cherry says. I just like the no whining parts. Those are the best.
But they're obviously focusing more, it sounded like they're on the knee-on-knee hit than they are the Kadri.
Yeah. What do you expect?
Which I guess is the more debatable topic, because the hit to the face from Kadri, is anybody defending that in any way? I mean, the only thing you could say is how long is the suspension?
Well, no, they're not defending it. They're saying, well, the refs let it come to this.
Right,
yeah,
that's true.
I've seen that take more than anything. It's like, well, if the refs kept this game in control, he wouldn't have done that. It wouldn't have been on his mind. He's still a grown adult who just cross-checked a guy in the face. Some accountability.
Right, where's the damn accountability. Five games, we thinking? Rest of the series?
I think three.
Four,
I think five. I think that's the sweet spot because it at least guarantees that he does not play again in the series.
If they would go three, what's the reaction from Bruins fans? Is it outrage or
absolutely.
Okay?
Oh, yeah, because it'd be the same three he got last year, right?
Yep.
This is obviously worse.
This is a worse
repeat
hit,
offender. If he gets the same amount, they're clearly going to be pissed, and they have a right to be.
But no injury. Wingles was hurt last year.
We don't know that yet.
That's true. That's true.
At the very least, if he didn't have a severe enough injury that's going to keep him out of the next game, he was dinged a little bit there. I mean, we've all seen the video.
I think the biggest reason three would surprise me is because they announced the in-person hearing. You don't announce the in-person hearing and then go from five to three. That rarely happens.
Well, what's the standard? I mean, I guess the standard is him last year in the playoffs because postseason they handled differently, right? What would you say?
Two games per one or whatever. So Kucherov was a one-gamer.
Yep.
That's like two for regular season. So,
I mean, he had a history last year when they suspended him three.
Right.
A significant history. And they only gave him three.
I think this is this would be his fifth suspension of three games or more.
It's a terrible hit. There's no getting around that. The back and forth, but there were other good hits throughout the game. If game one was defined by whatever you want to say, poor puck management or Mitch Marner, the talent of the Leafs having open ice and momentum, this one was physicality, right? That was the story of game two.
Sure.
Effective physicality from the Bruins. Started from the jump, putting the fourth line out there to set the tone, Matt. You wanted to see some changes in terms of matchups. They got that last night. Everything Cassidy did looked pretty brilliant after this one.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just about it was about not getting the matchups. It was about just going out there and playing. So you had Bergeron, Tavares matched up here and there, but otherwise he was just rolling his lines and letting Babcock react, which is what you're supposed to do on home ice. And I think that's, you know, Cassidy admitted the day after game one that they got out coached, and I think, you know, that's what it comes to. That he's such a humble guy, he understands that he saw the error of his ways. This team plays its best when things are flowing and they're just loose and you're trusting everyone to play. That's what they did 82 games. He trusted every line to play against whoever, and that's what they did last night.
Tavares, one shot last night, two attempts. Mitch Marner was pretty quiet, three shots, one hit, one giveaway. I mean, what
And how about
what
Tavares?
Changed?
How about Tavares, too, pretending he was hurt, skating, holding his face for like 10 seconds and skating into Tuukka Rask as if like he was like a Three Stooges routine that he couldn't see where he was going. It was hilarious. I mean, I'd love to hear Cherry talk about that one.
Yeah, there was Tavares in one of those sequences was like in Rask's grill for like 30 minutes
right
before he got thrown to the ground by, who was it,
McAvoy? Yeah.
So,
and they changed the defensive pairings, I guess.
When Crew got out, yeah.
Yeah, well, at that point they were down to almost 4D by the end of the game. But you also were hoping they would not stack everybody,
right,
including Chara and McAvoy.
They let things flow, exactly, and that's what you had to do. I mean, I think I haven't looked at the numbers, and I bet Chara and McAvoy were out there a lot against Tavares more than anyone, at least when that line was together. But that's what you had to do. I mean, you just had to look, and maybe part of it was also that in game one he wasn't necessarily trusting his lineup because he doesn't have as much trust in Johansson and then Coleman, who's been spotting, you know, getting spot duty here and there. That's why he needed back, is just to keep, you know, have this veteran presence and have these guys that he can trust to take these tough matchups.
Well, after game one, there was a lot of Tuukka Rask talk. We'll get to that in a second. But the other criticism was coming. Chara was getting a lot of criticism, and I think somewhat rightfully so.
Yeah.
I guess he was put in bad spots by his forwards, but he looked bad.
I mean,
that was the oldest and worst that I've seen him look in a long time.
The only guy that looked good in that game was Charlie Coyle, really.
Yeah, pretty much. I think, among skaters, Coyle was one of the only forwards or only skaters that looked good. Everybody else was so sloppy, and Chara looked slow. I know that's like the age-old criticism for Chara, is that he's slow, but when you're playing sloppy and you're opening up the game to Toronto's speed, then Chara's going to look slow, and he looked slow, and he looked old.
You know what, too? I think though, that, you know, obviously, you know, I committed the ultimate sin and put that maybe Patrice Bergeron didn't have a good game, and of course,
but he did get outplayed
from
by
everyone from him to like the person with two followers was telling me it's because of the wingers. Well, when Chara has a game like that, I tend to also look at, you know, Charlie McAvoy is supposed to be the young legs, he's supposed to be the safety valve. The Leafs were exploiting the Bruins. The forecheck wasn't getting in to stop those stretch passes. If you're not stopping them, yes, the puck's going to get behind Chara, and whether he's 42 or 32, he's never going to be able to move that way. That's where Charlie McAvoy could have come in and helped him out a little bit. So maybe, like, Bergeron has it's the winger's fault every time he does something wrong. Maybe we could say that Chara had an off game because McAvoy didn't exactly help him out.
But what changed? Like, if it's amazing how different spins you get after different games in a playoff series. Like, after game one, Mitch Marner is awesome, best player in the world. Tavares is a difference maker. Chara's old. McAvoy had a terrible start, on and on. I mean, Pasternak looked bad in that game.
Remember when the Bruins were going to sweep the Lightning last year? So,
right, that's true. That's after game one of that series. But after this game, it totally different story. That line was invisible. It was just a matter of adjusting. The physical play forced Toronto to be not have time and space coming out of their zone.
We keep going back to it, but where is Austin Matthews?
Yeah, seriously.
That's the difference here, is that if Tavares is being shut down by Achari or Bergeron, whoever it is, and Kadri's running around like a moron not playing hockey very well, They have to have Austin Matthews do something.
And from the Bruins' side of things, you know, I don't think that many people expected them to be as bad in Game 2 as they were in Game 1. Right. We've watched this team all year. They have not been that bad. They haven't been that bad with the puck. They haven't been that sloppy. So all their issues in Game 1 were correctable, and they corrected them in Game 2, and they played like the team that they played most of the year.
And conversely, Toronto had sort of backed into the playoffs. They looked pretty bad the last few weeks. And then they, for a game, flipped the switch. At least the top line did.
Something psyched the Bruins out before that first game. They just maybe didn't quite know, even though they've all been there a million times, they didn't quite grasp what was ahead of them as far as playoff intensity. It starts probably with the coach and the fact that he was doing that hard matching and he was getting the wrong matchups, and you know, you didn't necessarily
like
have
overthought it or underthought it.
I think they overthought it, because when you look at it too, we talk about Freddie Anderson had a good game but didn't make any spectacular saves in that game. There were, what, 2-3 shifts in that first period. Marchand especially, I think Johansson too, they were passing up shots from the high slot where they could maybe creating rebounds, creating traffic. They were passing up into traffic. There was something that psyched them out in that game, and I think maybe, you know, sometimes too you talk about the Leafs backing in. The Bruins played those two meaningless games at the end. Marchand didn't play in those games. They were pretty much playing meaningless games the last week or 2 weeks. Sometimes
Chara did play though, and he looked bad.
Well, I told him not to. What do you want?
Listen
to this show, read EEI. You get Backes in the lineup. You get the matchups you want.
Scratch
Everything
Johansson.
Works right.
Yeah.
But
in Game 1, do you think the Bruins attack took Toronto's defense a little too lightly?
Yeah, exactly.
Because there was no layers to that attack. It seemed like there were way too many guys going in trying to play hero, trying to skate around
Absolutely.
That defense. And they played solidly, and they shut it down, to their credit. But the Bruins did not test them enough in Game 1.
Yeah. And especially when you go back, it does carry over from last year, too. It's the same guys except for Muzzin, right? So you're looking at that and saying, oh, we had 30 points on these guys. We can own them. Then Muzzin's in there. You forget. You don't see. They didn't see Muzzin with Toronto.
Torrey Krug didn't see Muzzin.
Well, exactly, that too. But they didn't see Muzzin with Toronto because he was traded after they finished playing.
Right.
So they kind of maybe didn't quite grasp what he was going to bring to that team. And obviously he had a great game in that first game. And I just think they definitely took them lightly in the fact that they just weren't prepared to really go at them. They thought that they could take them individually, just have these fancy moves, score these goals.
Well, it could still be a serious, if that's the case, took them lightly, whatever it is, it could be a serious blow if the Bruins lose Krug, DeBrusque, whatever. I mean, you'll look back on Game 1 and say that was a key.
You
didn't take a 2-0 series lead as you did a year ago on home ice. Talk about that. Are the Bruins in control? Where does the series go from here? We'll hear from David Backes post-game, one of the major storylines of Game 2. We got to get the goaltender talk in. Tuukka or Piuukka per
Tuukka
Mark James back in Game 1. Calvin is here, of course, and Pete Blackburn joins us for the second hour. Sunday Skate ramps it up. The 8 o'clock hour presented by Star Market and Wise Snacks on WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.